Good morning. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here as we enter into our service, third section of our service. And I'll just get a little organized here. Come on. This morning, I would like to share with you some thoughts from the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if you were to open up your Bibles to Luke, the 10th chapter, I'd like to start reading from verse 25. That's Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell by robbers' hands?" And then the lawyer said, "He said, 'The one who showed mercy toward him.'" And Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." We all have looked at this particular parable of Jesus, and we all studied this particular parable. But I want you to focus on one thing. When this lawyer approached Jesus, he was in the midst of his preaching and teaching. And the lawyer came up to him and tested him. And we see that he said to him, "What shall I do to inherit the kingdom of earth?" Now, this lawyer, who would be one who was an expert in the law, and that is the Mosaic law, he knew it and likely was willing and able to discuss and debate it with others. And Jesus had him answer his own question. And the lawyer answered correctly. And he said to Jesus, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." This lawyer understood what the Lord God was. In fact, we see that Jesus quoted out of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And we see that this particular verse, we're going to see how Jesus reiterates that in Matthew. And Jesus acknowledges his answer as correct and calls for the application. We studied this morning how we as Christians should be putting our faith into action. And this particular parable is going to share with you and I how we can do that in our Christian way of life. The lawyer wanted to justify himself further, and he asked Jesus in the 29th verse of chapter 10, "And who is my neighbor? Who is our neighbor today?" It's those who are other people in the world. Our brethren's our neighbor. We have people that we live around us that are neighbors. The people in the world are our neighbors. And Jesus answers this question with a parable. And the parable is the Good Samaritan. So we see in this particular parable that one, Jesus is in it, and he is speaking the parable and sharing with this lawyer on who your neighbor is. We see another character is the lawyer. Even though he's trying to test Jesus, he is also wants to find out for himself, how do I inherit eternal life? And he knows the law. And he recited the law to Jesus. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And also love your neighbor as yourself. So now we see that Jesus shares with us this parable, the journey. Well, there's a man on a journey on this road between Jerusalem and Jericho. He's traveling on this road. And he comes across some robbers. They were going to take him with all his money, beat him, and leave him for dead. So since this lawyer was of Jewish background, the lawyer was a Jew, and he was quoting the Old Testament. So this man most likely was a Jew traveling on this road. And from Jerusalem to Jericho was about a 3,200 drop in elevation, Jerusalem being at 2,500 feet above sea level, and Jericho 800 feet below sea level. So that's approximately 3,200 feet of elevation drop. And the road was about 14 miles long. It was mountainous. It was wilderness with canyons and danger. And it was a dangerous type of road. We see that this dangerous road, some people called it the way of blood because of its danger. And they robbed him. So we see that we have the victim, which is the third person in this parable, and we had robbers. And since they robbed him, it's probably at least two or more individuals who took everything from this individual and left him half dead. In verses 31 and 32, we read about the priest and the Levite. It was fairly common for priests and Levites to travel this road. Some lived in Jericho since it was about a day's journey. And Jesus traveled this road often from Galilee to Jerusalem. So Jesus used this road also. A priest would have been a Jewish religious leader whose job included interceding for the people, teaching them the truth, and helping them spiritually. And he should have understood the troubles of people and have been compassionate to this individual. But we see later on he wasn't. And the Levite, while not necessarily a priest, worked with the priests, the temple, and had various spiritual duties. And he too should have understood the troubles of people and been compassionate. So again, we have two other characters in this particular parable, a priest and a Levite. And concerning both of these individuals, remember the greatest commandment, and that is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Instead of stopping and rendering mercy and help, the priest completely avoided the hurt man. He went on the other side of the road. And the Levite stopped and looked, but then moved on also. Now there was a Samaritan, another individual that Jesus talks about in this particular parable. And the Samaritans were despised by the Jews and viewed as half-breeds. A little background about these Samaritans. They were a race that was a result of the Assyrian captivity of northern Israel, 722 BC. And this Assyria displaced captives. And when Israel was carried away, other nations came to the land. They intermarried, and the Samaritan race was the result. And the hostile feelings were somewhat mutual. Remember when Jesus was looking for the water? Who offered him water? Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman said, "I shouldn't be talking to you. Don't you know who I am?" And Jesus responded, "Yes, I do know who you are. And I do know that you're a good person." And Jesus converted her. He took that opportunity. Here's a Samaritan who was walking on the same road. And the Samaritan stopped and rendered aid, doing everything he could to help the injured man. He had compassion. The Samaritan did not see an enemy, a Jew, but rather a human being with a need. He treated and bandaged his wounds, put him on his own animal to take him to an inn. He paid at the inn, the innkeeper, 2 days' wages, and even offered to pay more on his return journey if it cost the innkeeper more. So there again, we have another character in this story is the Samaritan and now the innkeeper. Consider what the Samaritan sacrificed. His time. He took time out of his schedule to help this individual. His abilities, he used his talents to help this individual. Bandage him up, make sure that he could travel, and took him to the inn and had the innkeeper watch over him. And he used his resources. He used his money to help this individual. Now, the Good Samaritan was willing to get involved. He acted on a need. He saw someone who was hurt and injured. The Good Samaritan ignored racism. He didn't care if this individual was a Jew. He was another human being that he was there to help. The Good Samaritan showed mercy. He was compassionate. He extended love to this individual. And also, the Good Samaritan risked his own safety. Who knows what was lurking in the hills behind him? Could have been more robbers. But he didn't care. He made sure that he was going to take care of this individual. And the Good Samaritan was generous. And generosity reflects God's love. He gave the innkeeper money to take care of him. And he said, look, if you need more on my return journey, I will reimburse you. So Jesus asked the lawyer, who is the real neighbor here? And the lawyer rightfully knew the answer. The Samaritan who served mercy. And at the end of the parable, Jesus replied, go and do likewise. So how is this parable related to the kingdom of heaven? It showed someone who gave mercy to someone. How does it relate to you? The lawyer was asking about what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, to be saved. Since salvation is in his kingdom, Jesus helped him find the answer. It's about loving God and your neighbor. So who is my neighbor? As a Christian, we must understand our neighbors, anyone who has the opportunity to help. Consider love your neighbor. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, and he said to him, you shall love God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So he sums up what Christianity is all about. Loving God and loving your neighbor. So how much concern do we show for the brethren? In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and the one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, and be filled. And yet you do not give him what is necessary for their body. What use is it? What use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. In 1 John 3, verses 10 and 11, John shares with us, by this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Again, how much concern you have for the brethren. How much concern do we have for the lost? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, Paul shares with the saints at Corinth, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences." We persuade men. We share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. How do we show concern to the lost? By our example on how we live as a Christian. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Christians are to show genuine care and compassion for others. And Jesus showed that great compassion to all men when he was here on this earth. And this can open doors to teach the lost, to share the gospel message with those who are in need of salvation. Again, our love must be sincere to those people who are searching for the gospel. The Apostle Paul shares with saints at Rome in chapter 13 and verse 10, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." And he continues on in the 15th chapter in verse 2, "Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification." Our jobs as Christian is to please our neighbor for their good and also for their edification. How much concern do we show to our enemies? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45, we read, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you," this is Jesus talking, "love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Jesus shared with us we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, we read, "Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." God is the judge, not you and I. And it's up to God to judge, not you and I. We should be able to pray for our enemies as well as for our leaders. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul shares with Timothy, "First of all, then I urge them in entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for them. Make sure that you align yourselves to follow them. And this parable we're looking at is about the golden rule. And Jesus shared that with us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Again, we should treat everybody as if they were treating you. And the Good Samaritan is a good example of applying this principle. So be careful before you judge who is worthy of your help. The Samaritan simply acted. He saw a need and responded. Do we make judgments as to whom we help? Are our motives pure or tainted? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we read, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Something to remember, we should be doing good for all people, and especially our brethren. We should treat them with respect, honor, and love. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is a good reminder to us about our need to be Christians at all times and before everyone. And if we practice this fully, we will be given opportunities to share not only the love of our Lord, but his message as well. So the question is, how do you view your neighbor? Think about that. Dwell upon that as you reflect upon this parable. And then Ted will lead us in a few moments in this invitation psalm.